Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 213 of MMT Millennial Movie Talk. I'm one of your hosts, Brayden, joined, as always, by the wonderful Alex.
Hello.
And the wonderful Michael.
Hello.
Now, we are here because the biggest night in Australian TV just happened. That's right, folks, the Logies were on. And boys, what did you think?
I didn't even realize it was on.
Why didn't Hamish Blake win?
That is the main takeaway from it. But no, I'm not actually going to talk about the Logies. I just thought it'd be a funny joke because that thing itself is a joke.
I have a Logie story.
Oh, all right. Hit us.
So Sunday night, my dad and I went to go see a comedian at the Her Majesty's Theatre. I'm not sure if we've been to Her Majesty's Theatre recently. They've done it up and it's quite nice. Anyway, the comedian was Kitty Flanagan. Not sure if you guys ever
Kitty Flanagan.
Heard of
nice.
Kitty Flanagan. My dad enjoys her from that hit show. Have you been paying attention?
Yep.
So the Logies were on that night and she was doing shows in Adelaide and her TV show she does was up for a bunch of Logies. And she came out on stage and immediately was like, well, I'm glad I'm here because we didn't win. And it's good because I didn't have to be one of those people in the audience. I had to go.
Oh my god, that's so good. That's a good way to open a show.
Yeah.
Just immediately shit on the award show that's happening at the same time.
Yeah. That's what I have to say about that.
That's the most anyone's had to say about the Logies. We are actually here because this past fortnight has been the biggest 2 weeks of film in 2023. That's right, folks. The internet has made it very clear what that time is. It's Barbenheimer, and it's time for Barbie and Oppenheimer. All three of us have seen both films, I believe.
Yeah. I did the double.
Did that? You?
I do want to know how was the double? How was the double? Do you regret the double?
No, because it's a story.
It is a story.
I don't regret the double, even though upon reflection, the second film I saw in the double, I liked considerably less than the first film I did, which, you know, at first I was like, maybe it's because I just sat through a film first and then came into this one, because 5 hours is a long time.
It's a long time.
but the more I've been thinking about it over the week and been talking and been doing some research and looking to other things, I feel like my thoughts are not going to change too much. Upon a second viewing of the second film. But
I assume you saw them in the correct order.
No. So there is no correct order, even though there is, I saw on the correct order, which was do Oppenheimer first and do Barbie.
Yes.
Because I feel like it's a lot harder to go into Oppenheimer after something like Barbie than going into Barbie after something like Oppenheimer.
It's definitely, yeah. They're both pros and cons. After the heavy hitter.
If you went to go see Oppenheimer after you just sat through Barbie, that's a whole switch you got to get into.
Yeah.
I feel like Barbie's probably the easier film for it to just immediately throw you into.
Yeah, because when you go into Barbie, it knocks the switch off the wall and you're like, oh, this is something completely different.
Barbie.
But yeah. All right. Which one do you guys want to talk about first? I'm open.
Oh, well, we know. I don't know. I've got things to say about both of them. So, you know, there's got to be no shortage of conversation when it comes to either one of these films.
Look, you know what?
There will be more of a debate with Barbie. I feel like we're all on the same page with Oppenheimer. Barbie, we're going to have a bit more of a debate. It's going to be a bit more of a discussion.
I'll slide in with the quick. So I did a very last minute trip to watch Mission Impossible for the whole Barbie and Oppenheimer storm.
Did you go see that by yourself? Or did you drag Gemma to go see Mission Impossible?
No, I literally was sitting at work. I was like, Gemma's busy. I'm just going to go.
Are you all by yourself?
I did. And that's now, my first Michael, trip ever by myself to the movie.
Isn't it just totally fine?
Yeah. Look, the only weird part was I was just squeezed between like a family that brought their young child.
No.
Oh my.
The other side was fine. It was just a dad and like his obviously teenage daughter. He just said hi to me when he sat down, and that was it. Very nice man.
Did you go to a session of Mission Impossible that was nearly sold out?
No.
Because the box office numbers do not reflect this.
I had booked my seat and then everyone booked around me.
Oh, where'd you go? This is very interesting to me. What cinema did you go to?
It was TDP because Barbie was obviously and Oppenheimer probably.
Well, yeah, they you know you can't
I was
getting,
cinema cinema three I think it was.
Oh, okay. You sat in our normal seats.
Yeah,
and those monsters just chose
sat either side.
What?
That's a bad first experience.
Sociopath.
Yeah,
I wouldn't enjoy that. And I go to the movies all the time, but the only time I'm okay with sitting next to people is if that theater's fucking sold out.
Yeah,
it was like pretty packed, but there was definitely seats around.
I would have got up and moved over.
Yeah,
I was there. I was.
Oh, hang on! No. Was it the case where you walked in, you sat down, and then they came, or were they already there when you sat down?
Sat down after.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then you don't move. If I walk, still move. Really? I was just like,
I'm just gonna watch the movie. I didn't really. The only off-putting part was to my left was like two parents brought their like younger kids, and then so the kids were obviously like moving around.
Oh,
like,
fuck that!
Trying to squeeze into the seat with their parents.
What day did you go see this on?
Huh?
What day did you see this on?
Wednesday. So the day.
Well done, Mission Impossible. Well done.
The Barbie had its girls' night out, so it was just packed, a sea of pink.
Yep.
And I think there was a sprinkling of people for Oppenheimer, but yeah, quick thoughts on Mission Impossible. Really enjoyed it. I feel like you guys have talked about it a fair bit. I think I agree with everything. Big Uncharted vibes from the whole train scene. I'd say it's my second favorite.
Nice. Now, Brayden, you did say 4 weeks ago that you were going to watch Fallout and Rogue Nation by the next episode.
I still haven't. I completely forgot.
Do it.
Arsehole.
I've actually completely forgot. This is the first time I've thought about that in 2 weeks.
Can we set up a punishment? If he arrives back next Tuesday and not having watched them, can we have some form of punishment here?
I'd say he has to go see Talk to Me, but he's
tomorrow night.
He's already doing that willingly.
Yeah.
Different punishment. I don't know.
All right. Well, you know, put a toothpick under your tongue.
We'll consider the Talk to Me viewing tomorrow night the punishment for having not done it yet. And then maybe. I will have watched it by next show.
But there's additional punishments for every week it goes by.
Oh, God. Okay, I would definitely be watching them this week.
Additional horror movies you have to watch.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'll pick them.
Let's subvert expectations. Let's talk about Oppenheimer. I want to hear where everyone was at with it because I
have notes. Where's my phone?
I was not hyped going into it. I'm not a massive Nolan head. My experience with Nolan has been
got a new phone.
Batman and stuff. Ooh,
he's gone. He's left the iPhone.
Yeah,
he's a true tech bro now.
Which meant I had to also get.
Oh, changed it up.
I know. All right.
You'll
see a photo of my sister's new dog too.
Yes, definitely. No, what a baby! Is that cute. A beagle?
Beagle.
Oh, beagle baby.
There was a family that didn't want it.
Oh,
well, they got it and they didn't realize how much attention dogs needed.
Yeah.
And so they took it from off them.
Yeah.
But it wasn't de-sexed. And there was a boy beagle, not de-sexed, 7 months old.
So rowdy as fuck. Well, no wonder they couldn't take care of it. It was.
My God, they got the dog on Sunday. It's de-sexed already.
Yeah, now. That's how you do it.
They have a female dog too, and that. A 7-month-year-old dog was going ham.
Yeah, it'd be going crazy.
To the point where the other dog was just biting it to like as in
fuck off. All right, we've edged anyone wanting to hear about these two movies enough. Oppenheimer, going into it, I didn't have any expectations. My one word I would use to describe this film is compelling. I found this film incredibly compelling and I was completely in it. Unlike any other Nolan film I've watched before, like I was just in.
It sucks that his last movie before this was Tenet. So I feel like we all went in going,
I haven't even seen it.
Oh, okay.
Look, I view Tenet as everyone's allowed to fuck up once.
What about the Dark Knight Rises?
Like, you're allowed to stumble a little bit. Just because you made one.
All right, Alex has notes. Let's hear what
my first note is perfect movie. There we go.
That's it. It's just that perfect movie over and over again.
Nolan's best movie in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
There's three standouts in the movie, and that would be Cillian Murphy, Emily Blunt, and Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, which I was not ready for at all. I didn't even know he was in it.
Oh, Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah.
I knew he was in it. I didn't realize that he was essentially the second main.
Yeah, he was movie. Excellent.
I cried at the end.
Any particular bit that got you?
Yeah. It's the last line of the film. It got me a tear when it was like he's talking to
Einstein
and he's like, I came with all the like those calculations to you about how like setting off a chain reaction.
Destroy the world.
Yeah. And he's just like, I think we did.
Yeah.
And like, and then it also shows you all the missiles, like the current day missiles going off and that. So that was hard hitting.
Yeah, it was really touching.
So I didn't know that Rami Malek, and I didn't know that Gary Oldman were in the movie.
Okay, I wasn't the only one. Surprise. I was sitting there during that scene, and I was like, is that Gary Oldman? And then so it completely went out of my head until the credits rolled, and I spotted his name. I was like, it was fucking Gary Oldman.
So Rami Malek kind of just stood there, and he didn't say a word in his first scene.
Very random.
And I was just like, what the fuck's Rami Malek doing there?
Like, surely he has like, a line.
I was like, this man won an Oscar 3 years ago. And
he's a background actor.
He's a background actor. All right. I've seen it twice.
Mm.
And it flies by each time.
Yeah, I was really surprised that the pacing
was good.
Didn't feel 3 hours long.
The Trinity test. That had my heart in my stomach for like the whole sequence leading up to it, into where it happened, and then everything after. It may be the best sequence I've ever seen in a movie.
It's incredible how much tension they were able to build up when you know how it goes.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, I think what gets in that scene is just the utter silence for 20 seconds.
That was good.
Also, Matt Damon was great in the movie.
Yeah,
I feel like everyone was great. I don't really think anyone had a bad performance in this movie.
I oddly loved the last 30 minutes where I feel like it's going to be people's least favorite part because the thing they came to see is going to be over by then. But I loved the last half an hour when we're pretty much only focusing on Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah,
everything's happened.
Yeah, we're getting him and just like the tail end of the investigation.
But I love a bit of courtroom drama.
Yeah.
And it's very much like a bit of courtroom.
When, honestly, when the bomb went off about like halfway through the film, like it was going off and it was amazing. But then there was that part of me that was like, oh yeah, but I want to get back to the drama and the intrigue and what's going on. And so, yeah, all of that stuff was the stuff that I found incredibly compelling.
Because they definitely set it up where it's like, Robert Downey Jr. isn't a bad guy until it clicks and he is.
Yeah. It's really well done.
Because they don't really play their hand until they pretty much just show you it straight up.
I could have watched another hour.
Well, you watched six of it.
I did. I'll do it again. It's probably the most important movie in a long time.
Yeah.
And there's another line in it. Well, I can't remember what it is. It's like they won't fear it until they understand it, and they won't understand it until they used it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I think it's something on the lines of that.
Yeah, him being like, yeah, we can't, like, we're not the people who can stop this from happening. It. They're going to use it. We have to let them use it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God, it's just brutal. And then how suddenly... them using it and it having gone off and is it Hiroshima?
And Nagasaki.
Yeah, like hearing about them like on the radio and stuff, like it's just like, oh my God, like it just hits really, really well.
How long did you take? It took me too long to realize that when they're dropping the marbles into the glass fish bowls, that it's the two bombs.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I was just like, yeah, fat man, little boy, there they are. Anyway, so if you love this movie, watch JFK.
Oh, okay.
Because JFK is the most similar movie I can match this to.
Okay.
Where Chris and I have spoken about it before. It,
yeah.
Both long, but both very good and both very important.
Yeah.
The Oval Office scene with President Truman, Gary Oldman.
Yes.
Fantastic.
So
where
was the actual conversation that happened.
Yeah. When it's just like, Nagasaki wasn't about you.
Yeah. So, so well done. Oh, yeah. My God. And it just puts everything in perspective.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, and get that crybaby out of, or yeah, don't let that crybaby back in here. He indeed became Death Destroyer of Worlds. Blunt's interview at the end, you know, when they get her up in the chair.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Oh my God.
Just how, when she switches.
Yeah. How, the way they pull you in and you're like, oh, how's this going to go?
And she goes, and
there's
stern.
That one moment and you're like, oh, she's going to fucking annihilate them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excellent. Loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Matt Damon injected the perfect amount of humor.
Yep. Yeah, just enough to not like rip you out of the tone of the film.
It's a perfect, like, it balanced that so well.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, we know movies nowadays, they all have to be funny.
Yeah.
But yeah. And the last note I've got here is when they were choosing the scene where they're all in the office and they're all choosing where the bombs are going to be
where
dropped.
It's going to go.
And he's just like, well, no, we can't do this place because my wife and I honeymooned there.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, it's so fucked.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Oh, and
history,
then they're being
people.
Like, oh, we've decided we can't do this place because of its cultural significance.
It was the same place. It was he led off by saying we can't do it because Kyoto. Right, yeah. We can't do Kyoto because of its cultural significance to the Japanese people.
Also,
my wife and I honeymooned there. Yeah. Lovely place.
Yeah. It's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I think they fucked up.
I love.
Oh, you go.
That's what happens when two people were very polite. anyway. So, I didn't put in my notes, but one of the scenes that still sticks with me is the rally-esque scene. Where he, after the bombs are dropped, and he goes into like the high school gym.
The whole almost. Thing, they're all in the stand.
Yeah, and they're all stamping. And the background shaking. The mixes edited. Yeah. So it's like only, you can hear only the people cheering and him.
Yeah. And like, then it starts to set, like parts of it sound like screams and stuff. Like
the lady with the skin.
Oh,
skin.
God.
Yeah, the charred body on the ground.
Yeah.
I was really at that point. I was like, "Oh dear God, is this going to get like really graphic?" And
it's just
worse?
Like the reality and like him realizing what he's created.
Yeah. It's a movie about man make bomb and man feel bad for make bomb.
Yeah.
Mm.
But yeah.
Yeah. It was truly an excellent film. It was funny. It was during the end credits. I was like, man, the music and score were excellent. I wonder. And then Ludwig Göransson's name appeared.
And you're like, well, that's why.
Fuck's sake, of course it was him.
It's because Zimmer and like Nolan do all their shit together.
Yeah.
But Zimmer's been off doing Dune 1 and 2 Nolan's last two movies. Oh,
I forgot that film was even happening.
Mm.
I'm looking forward to that.
I was gonna say, I think they jump between like the bomb stuff and like all of the black and white stuff with Robert Downey Jr. really well. I think like you got a good amount of each one before we jumped back and forth.
Oh, at the end where young Han Solo says to Iron Man, I don't think his character had a name, but it was Alden Ehrenreich says to Strauss, he's just like
it's like one of his lawyers.
Yeah. It's like he was just like, maybe they weren't talking about you. Maybe they were talking about important
something
things.
More important.
You gotta something love that whole part, like around that conversation with Einstein, where Robert Downey Jr. just thinks it's all about him.
Yeah, and it's that thing where, like, it's a replica of the Oval Office scene where Oppenheimer thinks it's about him, and like, yeah, Gary Oldman's president's like, nah, mate, they're not gonna care about you. They think I'm the one that pushed the button.
Yeah,
like, yeah, and yeah,
grabs a little handkerchief and waves his flag.
Oh, it was so good. And yeah, that entire like end sequence where Robert Downey Jr.'s character is really showing his true colors, and then yeah, his undoing basically was so well done.
So many random actors in the movie that named actors that had 2 second scenes.
Jack Quaid as Richard Feynman.
Bongo Man.
Yeah, he was great.
The Hereditary kid in it at one point.
Alex Wolff. He's one of the students. Yeah.
I will quickly plug Richard Feynman. Apparently, has one of the best books out. And everyone should go check it out. It's something with Mr. Feynman in the title, but it's apparently one of the best books.
Roderick from Diary of a Wimpy Kid in the movie at one point.
Yeah.
Shout out. One of the Safdies. Plays Edward Teller.
A lot of Florence Pugh.
All of Florence Pugh.
Yep. Was a lot more of Florence Pugh than Michaela and I were expecting.
Oh, and in multiple scenes.
Yeah, and then it was just like, hey, guess who's back?
Yep, she's there.
Yep. Oh man, yeah, he does a full on double reverse affair. Like, man, he goes back and forth.
He got around. No, like the whole thing was that he had more affairs that the movie doesn't go into.
Yeah.
He got around.
Quick little tangent of things that the movie doesn't go into. There is some people writing articles at the moment, just making sure that people are aware that in the film it's played off like, oh yeah, this space, you know, some Native Americans come and do burial rites up here, but that's it. And then like later on he has that line where he's like, give it back to the Indians. They full on like displaced like massive communities of like Latino and Mexican and Native American people. It's
America. They didn't give it back to the Indians.
It's worth knowing that, like, that they really did actually. It wasn't just like an empty ranch. They like full on displaced entire communities. So we should all just remember that, and that's worth knowing.
Not a slight against the movie, a slight against history.
Yes, yeah. Slight against, you know, how America runs everything, and how white people run everything in power. But yeah, no, the film really, really good.
Favorite
movie.
It's
5 out of 5. Like,
yeah. I think I really like the fact that we sort of finished the Trinity test and then we're pretty much just into the, I wouldn't say consequences, but like just the aftermath for him. We don't see the other bombs. We don't like, it's just like his personal sort of thoughts and then his sort of undoing, I guess. But it's not really his fault.
I love that we, you know, we spent a lot of time on the hydrogen bomb in this movie. Yeah. Which is like, you know, we made it, we tested it, and then we went, oh, we can't do it anymore. Oh, we can't use this ever.
No, we really should not ever use this. This is too bad.
I'm pretty sure they tested it, and they calculated the safe location to test it, and yet a nearby island felt the fallout of radiation wise, just on like the natives.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
Good old Bikini Atoll.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called.
When they're drawing the circle on the map of the radius of it, and it's just like, they're putting it directly on Moscow. It's just like, Jesus, this is so big.
Come on, America.
Yeah. Oh my God. Insane.
Yeah. Bombad.
Very good film. I think there's going to be a lot of people who are scared off by the 3-hour runtime.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
I gave it, it's my favorite of the year. It's the only movie I've given a 5 to this year.
Damn.
And yes, sir. Sorry,
Alex's
Tom.
Standards have gone up.
You got beat, Tom. You got beat.
Tom.
You had last year, Tom. You won it last year. 2 years in a row, you couldn't do it.
Look, yeah, I've had a few conversations with people at work about Top Gun Maverick. And I'm just like, it's 3 hours of just
good history,
fantastic cinema. Like, that's all I can say. I was like, you need to go watch
come
it.
To life.
Like, I can't sit here and describe everything to you without spoiling it. But
did Chris ever send notes about Oppenheimer?
No, I don't think.
No, I think he said he might, but
yeah, he didn't.
We'll hear his thoughts another day.
He can give them next.
But speaking of excellent movies in cinema,
yep,
another film came out that week that has set the world on fire and pink. I swear to God, I have never seen as much pink out in public since like 2007.
That's a fair shout. Like, I literally tell you could go to the shops and be like, they're either going to Barbie or just come from Barbie.
Yeah. Or like, I feel like the entirety
as someone who saw Barbie opening night.
Pink.
It was a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. Oh my God. But it's also great. I'm really happy for him. It's a lot of fun. Barbie by Greta Gerwig, starring Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, and every other fucking person who wasn't in Oppenheimer.
Was there anyone that was in both?
Oh, no. That's a good question. That would be pretty funny, actually, if there was like a background extra who was in both films.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But yeah, I think you were either in Oppenheimer or Barbie. And everyone's in fucking Barbie. My God. This film, I absolutely, to the shock of no one, absolutely loved this. What was that?
The guy commented back on the thing.
Okay, that's the story for another day.
It is.
Barbie is, in my book, perfect. I wouldn't change a thing with it. I really loved, honestly, every single part of it. And I know that's not an opinion that's going to be shared by everyone on this. But, like, I've seen it twice. Michaela and I went and saw it opening night. And loved it. And then my sister also went and saw it herself on the weekend. And then last week, my sister and I took my parents to go see it. And it is the hardest I have ever heard my mum and dad laugh in a cinema. Like, my mum was crying with laughter. And I
not a kid's film.
I had told her to brought tissues. I told her to bring tissues because, like, it gets emotional and is, like, really about, like, a mother-daughter relationship towards the end. There's, like, those moments. And I was like, oh, my mum's going to cry, like, mad. Because my mum will cry at anything. But she was crying so hard just from laughing hysterically because of just how fucking ridiculous and bonkers this film is. I loved it. It's a 5 out of 5 in my book. I gave both Oppenheimer and Barbie 5 out of 5. I loved everything it had to say about, like, just mocking the patriarchy and men's rights groups and stuff, and what it was saying about, like, filmmaking and movies, and I loved it. But I'm very interested to hear your guys' thoughts.
Okay.
I feel like I'm going to be the in-between here.
I don't hate Barbie. I don't hate Barbie.
No. I just feel like I'm going to be like, brains here, you're here.
I think Barbie's got some glaring issues, though.
I am interested in this because I feel like I am quite biased in
his mind. You've got the Barbie colour glasses.
You got the Barbie colour glasses on
at
the moment.
That's it.
And I'm here to crack them open for you. No, I'm kidding.
He didn't have the glasses to watch the atomic bomb.
So, first of all, I think we can cut out everything with Mattel. I think, and this is why my big thing with Mattel, I love Will Ferrell. Love Will Ferrell.
I was going to say, I'm someone who doesn't actively like Will Ferrell.
He doesn't need to be in it. And my thing with Mattel was that obviously when we're in Barbie land, everything's fun, cartoonish, and great. And none of that comes over into the real world. There's a distinct difference in the real world. Except for Mattel. Mattel in the movie, they all act like cartoons, but they're real.
Running,
they're not.
The
The chase, and to me, that just that really took me out of it, because I'm like we've clearly made the separation between Barbie Land and the real world.
Yeah, they've, so they've why clearly are made Mattel
people
between...
acting like they're in Barbie Land, even though they're not?
Yeah.
On the other shoe, I really appreciate how the film just went, yeah, they know Barbie Land exists. Like, I liked how it was just like they didn't bother going into any of the how.
Nitty gritty. It's just there.
They got rid of the how.
And they're like, this, that's there. It.
It's either, you know, get on board or fuck off.
Now, I think Barbie has a very good message to the movie. I think it's a very, very good message. Do I feel like I came out of a boxing ring with the message? Yes. I feel like the message beat me up and hit me over the head so many times. And I was like, okay, message, I get it, message.
stop, message.
I know. I feel like a bit like that with Barbie, but at the same time, and I'm not sure, someone else I talked about this with someone else who really liked the film, and they saw this as well. I think that the movie obviously takes a very, which is like a common stance now of, you know, in the real world, in our world, I guess, in reality, you know, the balance between men and women is, you know, we need to get it to here.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, in Barbie Land, it was very much the other way.
Yeah.
And then obviously we'll talk about the only good part of Mattel was them being a red herring as the villain, because the real villain in the film is amazing.
Yeah.
But there's a joke at the end of the film where one of the Kens asks for if they can have a seat.
Okay, this is the exact moment that I was like, I get the message. I don't need it like thrown in my face.
Oh my god!
But they turned, and to me, it's when I really felt like they almost ruined the message of the movie for a joke. Was when they said that the Kens of the world will have the same amount of power that the women have in the real world. Our world. Yep. Whereas the whole film, the message of the film, and we know this, and it's bad, and I feel like they're trying to, you know, that the patriarchy in the real world sucks. Mm-hmm. It's bad. It needs to be fixed. So when that's the whole message of the film, and at the end, we do a reverse and go, but in Barbie Land, it's fine. For it to be the matriarchy, I guess.
No, I get where you're coming from.
And that it just almost destroys the message for the sake of a joke.
Yeah, I
You know what I mean? It's like fighting racism with racism.
Yeah, it's the thing where, firstly, the joke had me in hysterics. It's such a funny line. And it's not just funny, it's brutal. It's really, really, like, it's tough. You're like, fuck. That's honestly a pretty dark joke. The message of it isn't that Barbie Land has it figured out. Like, Barbie Land is the reverse of the real world, so it's fucked up in its own way. And the message that it's getting across is making you going, yeah, no, there's not, neither of these are the correct way to do it. Like, we should really be going for more like equality here.
Yeah.
And yeah, by it sort of parodying and making fun of the reverse, it just tickles me. It's very funny in that way. But yeah, I don't think they're presenting like, this is how the world should be.
Oh no. But like, I don't know. I just felt like the message, you know, got a bit.
There's a lot of the message. I'll give it that.
Through the whole movie, the message was pretty clear, and that one was sort of like a, for those at the back, I'm going to slap the person in the front with the message.
But that I feel that's the type of joke where they, some people wouldn't even comprehend what that meant.
And I feel like that there was really two movies going on in this one movie where we had the movie about Margot Robbie herself kind of finding where she fits in everything.
Yeah, that development of a woman being an object in the world to a woman being a full-fledged human being.
Yeah. Which, if I'll be honest, I think that's a more interesting movie.
That's definitely that's definitely the stronger part of the film.
And then the other
part of the film, though?
No. Then the other part of the film is the patriarchy, Ken. We'll get to that.
The parody of the patriarchy led by Ken. Yes.
Horses and that.
Oh.
Okay. So sometimes I think that they, especially in Act 3, they don't
gel quite well.
They don't gel very
well. One story is happening, but then we need to stop that story to let the other story happen.
Exactly. And I think what it does, it really restricts Margot Robbie in the third act, where she doesn't really do much in the third act.
Yeah,
that is fair.
She is really like, she's put to like part of the team rather than it being about her.
And then we get that amazing scene after with the creator of Barbie
and
with Billie Eilish song.
Billie Eilish. Oh, my. Billie Eilish and Phineas killed that song.
Which is so a fantastic scene, but I will admit that it was at that point in the movie I went, this movie's a little too long. Which so is not a detriment to the scene. The scene's great. Probably one of the best scenes in the movie. Up there with Barbie and the old lady on the bench.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff. The real world stuff, you know, I've been flipping back and forward on this because I'm like, do I wish there was more of the real world stuff in there? Because to be honest, when the trailers came out, I was like, oh, we're going to, Barbie Land looks so fun. We're really going to be in Barbie Land for the first act. And then we're going to be in real world. Then we're going back to Barbie Land. For
I was really surprised by how much Barbie Land we got.
It's like they go to the real world for like a half an act.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's like half an hour maybe.
And we also bring in America, Fiera and her daughter, which I also think that they really rushed her daughter's character development. Like
her daughter
1 minute
does just sort of change her mind at some point.
Like that. Yeah. Like 1 minute she's moody, next minute, Mom. I'm wearing colorful clothes.
Yeah. It was literally the case of, I think, in the car chase, all of a sudden, like, we're meant to believe that the daughter went from, I read this after, I'll explain in a sec, like, the daughter suddenly went from, I'm hating this, to all of a sudden, my mom's reckless driving, now I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Like, it was
mom's
quite
random. Mom's been cool.
Also, right, that, well, the group of teenage girls at the school with the daughter, they're meant to be Bratz dolls.
Oh, really?
And when you actually look at them and like think about it, you're like, oh my god, yeah, they're just Bratz dolls, because like even the like she's wearing the like super baggy cargo pants and stuff. It's like, yeah, this is just 2000s Bratz dolls, 100%. Anyway,
okay. So they're my issues.
Yeah,
with Barbie, which I hope I'm not coming off like, fuck you, Barbie.
Well, no, your issues aren't like what a bunch of one-star reviews are, where they're like, this film's anti-men.
Oh.
And it's like, oh my god, shut the fuck up.
Men bad. No, I want to talk about Ken, though.
Everyone needs to talk about Ken.
Now, I wrote this in my notes, because I haven't really looked at my notes, because they've changed so much.
It's all been coming off the dome, mate.
I feel bad for Margot Robbie, and it's because she gets outshined in her own movie, but only because you see Margot Robbie, and we all knew she was going to be the perfect Barbie.
Yeah.
Mm. Ryan Gosling as Ken.
It was up in the air. We didn't know.
It was up in the air. But, well, I knew that he'd be... I know he's got comedic chops.
Yeah.
Because if you've seen The Nice Guys...
Yeah,
you know Ryan Gosling can cook up some comedy.
Did you not just rewatch that recently?
I did, because of Ryan Gosling.
That's fair.
So I loved almost everything to do with Ken.
Yeah,
including the musical fight battle dance number.
Oh god!
At the end,
so good.
I do have to have a bit of a giggle that one of the biggest parts of this movie that the internet has run away with is the fucking song.
Yeah,
because all I've seen everywhere is everyone just being like, this song on repeat, and
and everyone wants a Knuff.
Oh yes. Man, there is so much merchandise, and like Mattel is gonna make so much fucking money from this film.
So I saw this movie with three others, and when that fucking Godfather part came up, I had three sets of eyeballs turn. Because it's like, they're like, it's not The Godfather, Alex. It's you with any, you can insert.
Any insert, movie.
Insert film here. Oh my
and
God.
That's you. And I was just like,
oh, it's so.
It's good to be represented.
That that entire sequence where they're exploiting them for their incredibly stereotypical toxic man things.
Oh, the guitar.
Singing Push.
The
guitar.
Oh my singing, God. The Matchbox 20 is
singing
so
Singing Push
funny.
By Matchbox 20.
Oh my Incredible. God. My dad was losing his mind when that was playing, and my mum was just pissing at laughing. It was so good.
All of the Kens were great.
Yeah.
Alan was in it just to have Michael Cera in it, I feel like. He didn't do a lot.
He didn't do a lot, but I feel like he was very strong when he was there.
Yeah, but I feel like that's where it's kind of like, we needed more Alan then.
Yeah. I feel like the one weak Alan bit was when Ken runs into the wave and like Alan's screaming no.
Yeah.
It was just like, okay, that's a bit much. But everything else with Alan, like
Alan
wanting to
the
escape
end.
And like hating being
Ken's,
there.
Ken's clothes fit me as a battle cry.
Yep.
Before he attacks the Kens.
So good. I'm Ken's best mate, and all his clothes fit me. It's and yeah, the way they paid homage to so much classic Barbie lore and history was really impressive. And then they obviously they have their cake and eat it too in terms of the whole capitalist storyline, because it's like, you know, they're commenting on capitalism being bad.
Ken's Mojo Dojo Casa House.
So much money off this.
All right, if I send you money now, that's what the receipts, that's what my message says. Ken's
Mojo Dojo Casa House.
Ken's Mojo Dojo Casa House. Casa means house.
So good.
I think it's at its strongest when he goes back to Barbie Land and puts his version of the patriarchy.
His patriarchy,
which is horses. And
that line. When everything's broken down and he says, I lost interest in the patriarchy, it wasn't just about horses, I kind of lost interest.
Brilliant. Oh, and the fur coat.
Oh, the big ass fur coat.
With the glasses.
What they called it, like the faux mojo coat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Similarly, I wish he was in it more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's great.
He was a great Ken. The Kens riding up to the houses at the end on the fake horses was great.
Yeah, them just with nothing and just
them with nothing, but also them slowly realizing what happened and they're still just going with it.
They're all united together and after they've had this massive dance
battle. Yeah.
Oh my God. And
I'm just Ken. Anywhere else I'd be a 10.
Yeah.
People had a lot of fun with this movie.
This film really took over the internet 100%. And I'm here for it.
John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Mermaid Bar. Which they ruined in the trailer. They listed him as an actor in the trailer.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be in it.
I didn't see that one.
So they fucked that up.
That was movies. Like, Hollywood.
And it was such a cameo.
Hollywood is a fucking mess at the moment. And one of the things that I would like them to fix, on top of, you know, accepting actual human rights under their clauses for these strikes that the writers and actors are on right now, fucking stop fucking up your trailers and your ads. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they've really gone downhill with them.
Let movies have surprises again. Jesus.
Ken being the villain.
Yeah.
Great.
That is an excellent twist.
And I just love that because it meant we were getting so much more Ken.
Mm.
We got way more Ken in the movie than I thought we were going to get Ken.
Well, yeah, because early on in the film, they're really drawing attention to the fact that no one ever thinks of Ken. Ever. And he's having this existential crisis about that because his job is beach and he only exists with Barbie.
He just beaches. When he's talking to the lifeguard in the real life and he's just like, I just beach.
It's so good.
So yeah, the real world moments were great too. I almost wish we stayed there longer, but you know, the movie was already almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
If we took out the Mattel part and put it with some more character development with the daughter and stuff.
You know, I don't think America Ferrera really had to work at Mattel to be in the movie. I don't think that was important.
No, it which makes me think based on like everything they had set up without it. Yeah. I like the whole idea of like these are the like there are people in the real world who are playing with you. Like and that's what causes the weird Barbies and stuff and their malfunctions.
The moment I realized that 100% not a kid's film, the Depression Barbie ad. When that played in the film.
Oh my god.
When that played in the movie.
So funny.
Yeah, I went, this isn't a kid's film.
No.
The amount of kids in the theater.
What about when Kate McKinnon says that she'd love to see the blank blob under Ken's jeans?
Margot Robbie telling them all that they don't have genitals.
I don't have a vagina, and he doesn't have a penis. I have all the genitals.
I have all the genitals. So it's just not a kid's film, and I'm not too sure if it's like, hey man, I don't think they really care. If it was mismarketed, because the way they marketed it, they got a lot of people to go see this fucking movie.
Oh my God.
It was definitely not what I didn't know what I was expecting, but that's not what I
I've been saying it for
thought.
Weeks up until coming out. I've been so confused. I've been like, is Barbie a kids film? That was like my most asked question for many weeks there.
Yeah. I'd always thought, going into it, I thought it was going to be all ages. Like, I thought it was going to be the type of film where like, there's heaps of stuff for kids and families here, but then there's also stuff for
the parents. They sprinkle in the, oh, it's a kids movie with adult jokes when they go beach off. How about we beach each other off? I was like,
yeah.
Kids won't understand that, but that's funny.
Yeah.
But then, as you progress through the movie, you're just like,
it's not a kids film at all.
No.
Yeah. And
I like them addressing the tax evasion issues of the creator of Barbie. Like, what are you doing? How did this film get made? Like, the amount of things that they do, they're just like, hey, we're going to draw attention to the fact that Mattel hasn't had a female CEO since the 90s and, like, all this shit.
One Will Ferrell joke and one only that worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was him getting scared by Midge.
Where he walks out. He's just, Jesus.
Yeah, that was like, that actually made me barely laugh.
Yeah.
Just because it's Will Ferrell. And that was the only joke that worked for me with him. Other than that, like, and I do think there was a lot of humor that really hit in the film. Anything Ken did, of course. But I do think there was also humor in the film that really fell flat. And I feel like most of it was Will Ferrell.
Yeah, Will Ferrell, it was a very different take on, like, anything I've ever seen Will Ferrell in. Like,
and it was just a bit weird. I was just like, he was in the Lego movie.
The person I thought was stronger in that scene was the guy from Sex Education who played
the random guy.
Yeah, the general office worker who came up. I thought everything he did was brilliant. He was way funnier. His line when she's like, oh, I want to speak to the woman in charge, and they're listing all the roles. He's like, I'm a man with no power. Does that make me a woman?
Yeah.
She's so, oh my God.
Overall, I think it was a good, I think it was a good entertaining movie. I think it had a good message, although I think the message, may cause brain damage now. but I mean, you're at risk of a concussion out 2 weeks. that's all right. Paul will send you back on anyway.
I was going to say, you just get straight back in.
I gave it 3.5 out of 5. I thought it was good movie, good message, not perfect though, but fun.
I'm on a 4. I enjoyed myself.
I'm sitting on a 5. It's the perfect movie.
Don't have anyone tell me otherwise.
Now, with these massive films coming out, I'm assuming that there's been some updates in the box office draft.
Nah, Brayden, you're still on 0.
I'm still on 0. Alex hasn't updated the draft.
Sorry, my camera's keeping
a heat one. Ah, classic.
I'm opening all the windows.
That's fun.
Yeah, Brayden, we just actually disqualified you for no apparent reason until you watch Mission Impossible Fallout and
Nah, I'll do it. Just let me open my windows.
I was very glad I chose Barbie as my first pick. I stand by that. And
hang on, give me a second to open the door too.
Oh, that thing. Obviously, if that everyone... thing isn't the highest grossing movie of the year, I'll be genuinely questioning it.
Well, in 2 weeks,
the amount of people I've seen posting themselves at the movie seeing it is ridiculous.
Honestly, I think more people have seen this movie that I know than not.
Yes.
And everyone I know who hasn't seen it yet has plans to go see it.
Oh, yeah. Literally at work last week, I got there and there's like people had either seen it like in their little like friend group or had literally like bought tickets, were going like on the weekend.
Yeah.
So it's everyone.
Guys, Alex updated this today, so we're all good.
Here we go.
Let's
put a smile
kick it on that face. Round off the episode.
Well, we have one last final thing that we're going to mention just to see if there's any updates. But we'll do this first. Because it also requires.
This is him actually updating it.
I'm not updating. No, I'm just making it. I'm like zooming in and shit.
Good. I like it when it's visible.
All right.
Here we are. All right. What are we looking at?
So, this one's a bit more fun.
Oh, that's smart.
Oh,
I like that.
This one tells us what. This is the highest grossing movies of the summer.
Yeah.
Why indicates wasn't on the radar, so they weren't in contention. Except for Asteroid City, that one, which is funny because you look at what we had under Asteroid City at the moment, and maybe we should have picked Asteroid City, some of us.
Bless. Did that film come out?
Yeah.
Sorry, made no, 46 mil. I just looked at Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken, and I was like,
oh, yeah.
I haven't even seen that came out.
So Guardians still number one this has been out for many, many weeks.
Yeah. What did that?
But Barbie that's been out for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's number two.
Which my God. Is
easily going to cross a bill.
Yes.
Billy Club.
Fast X. Crazy enough, Fast X considered not very good. Considered not very good. but. Also considered a bit of a failure domestically.
Which I wonder how much of the market there was.
21% of it is North America, which is crazy considered that it's normally 60% America. That's so this movie insane. Blew up overseas.
Yeah.
Spider-Verse, number four. We've nailed 1 to 12, really.
Yeah.
The Sound of Freedom movie... I don't know. It's a very political movie about child slavery that is blown up in America lately. This number here, purely America, has not released anywhere but America.
Okay.
And then obviously we've got these ones down here and Talk to Me only just coming out this week. So
And also being quite an indie film.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Joyride and the Machine. The machine's tapped out. The machine's no longer making money.
Oh,
yeah.
Brett Kirsner's movie didn't do too well, which is a bit sad. I still need to watch it. Joyride, I was really sad that Joyride only made 13 mil.
I still need to watch both.
I need to see them too. Haunted Mansion released this week to 33 mil.
I've heard that it's a bit of fun.
Yeah. And of course, we got Oppenheimer. Here with 405 mil, and then we've got Barbie up here. So if we look back at us here, actually, Sheet 2 is the other year we did it.
Ah, yes.
Which is really crazy because if we look at this, also, I don't know how. So Michael won the other year, last time we did this, which is crazy because these are the final numbers of those years, right?
Mm.
And we're right? already.
This was COVID times, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. These were, I feel like A Quiet Place Part 2 was the first film to come back from COVID.
Yeah, these are real COVID numbers.
So now we look at now, post-COVID numbers.
Jesus.
And we're cracked. Everyone cracked past what I got?
Everyone's cracked a bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So I'm going to be completely honest here. I think I'm probably done now. I think Gran Turismo might make a bit, but I think I think I'm out. I think these two motherfuckers killed me.
Yeah, Elemental, yeah. Unfortunately. Oh, and we'll see how Haunted Mansion goes.
But I think these two have done me in. The Disney strat, we proved, does not work anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because Chris also had the other Disney film, Little Mermaid.
You want to talk about The Flash? Let's talk about The Flash.
And that underperformed. Can we go back to our thing? Really underperformed.
The Flash got beaten so badly. The Flash is 11th. The Flash is no longer making money in cinemas. It's now on streaming.
Wow.
Or VOD. Yikes.
Yep.
So there we go, Flash. Well done, Tom. You had your marketing campaign of Tom Cruise and Stephen King saying it's the greatest superhero film ever. Didn't work.
Yeah.
Okay. Bless. So, Chris, I think we got two dangerous people left.
Oh.
And I think it's Braden and Chris.
Oh.
I'm going to tell you why.
What's Chris
doing? I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is going to make bits.
That's going to be big.
Because it's out in America now.
Oh, is
it? And the reviews are very, very good.
Ooh.
It's got really good reviews.
Is it coming out soon for us?
Oh, don't talk to me about this movie.
Oh, because it's not coming out in September. Stupid delay ones.
So I think.
Shout out to the excellent bit of advertising that Mutant Mayhem did before Barbie. Like, did you guys get this ad before Barbie?
No.
No, I don't think
so. So there was a Teenage Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem specific ad making fun of Barbie being in cinemas right now.
Oh, that's cool.
I assume playing off the fact that both of them are best-selling toys. Because it starts with Barbie Land, like them all hanging out by the pool, but it's stop-motion toys instead.
Okay.
And then it goes, there's like a periscope out of a sewer, like looking at like what's going on, and then it goes underground into the sewers, and it's got the turtles as toys talking about like the fact that they live so differently up there and everything. It's very smart marketing.
So we've got the Turtles movie here. It's got a very good score.
Nice.
And just confirm,
I'm really looking forward to that one.
Yeah, me too. The cast was very good. I just want to find the release date for us because it's dumb.
Here we go.
So
all of that looks like very start of August, Alex.
September 7th.
Ooh.
Stupid.
Oh.
Why?
Yeah, don't know. Don't know why. But anyway, so.
Silly.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And Strays has the ability to make some money.
Which one's Strays?
The R-rated dog talking movie.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's got a big crowd with the weed heads.
Yeah. Notoriously known for paying money.
That movie.
Notoriously known for paying money to go see movies.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is going to make a lot of money. Also, I've just realized here I spelled turtles wrong.
What? Turtles.
Turtles.
And then Brayden, I don't think any of these are going to be exceptional.
No.
I think Barbie's just going to keep growing.
I think
Barbie's going to carry growing. Hard.
But yeah. If you look at this, you know, at the end of this, I'm going to do an average of what the average of our films made.
Ooh.
Because you'll be able to see then, like, Barbie carrying Brayden over. Mm-hmm. But then if you look here, Brayden's other two bottom ones here, like, I don't know. Don't want to pick on Michael Moore.
Oh, no, no. It's like full now. Like my bottom ones. If I had dropped, it was purely because
of
those bottom
when
picks.
You look at the bottom twos.
So like Chris's bottom one is 66 mil. Yeah, I'm in a bit of the same boat though, Michael. I chose. Oh.
You chose Australian indie movie.
I wanted more.
Yeah, but Gran Turismo is like you're going to have the one.
Gran Turismo's got a lot of marketing behind it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to get a lot of people because, like, a lot of people, A, have probably played the game, and B, they're just like, racing, video games.
It's a well-known director.
You know who Gran Turismo is for? Gran Turismo is for the people who weren't going to see Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Everyone else.
Oppenheimer's made a bit of money, though, too.
Is a Gran Turismo person.
So, Michael, really, you did some really good picks with. You know, your top three were really solid picks.
And they're quite even, too.
Bottom two let down.
Yeah, I had a solid pick with here. Braden had two solid ones. Sad to see Mission Impossible didn't continue to grow.
Yeah, that really just
bad time. Bad timing with its release.
They should have delayed it. They should not have come out the week before Barbie and Oppenheimer. That was its problem. And Tom Cruise begged the studio to move it, and they wouldn't.
If that had released like 4 or 5 weeks after Barbie and Oppenheimer,
I would have moved it to. I would have moved it to Christmas. Oh, I would have moved it to Christmas. Yeah, December.
What are we getting in December? Is there any big hitters?
Who knows now? Because a lot of movies are on the fence if they're going to come out anymore.
Oh yeah, that's true. Maybe Hollywood should just pay everyone correctly.
Yeah, I don't get how this has happened. This is still ongoing.
They're the worst. They're stupid. A24 though, they're good ones.
Oh, A24 is so lucky. They can continue production.
Yeah, because they just agreed to everything.
Yeah.
It's funny what you can do when you get
A24
that.
Is the only studio at the moment that can continue production with actors and writers.
Yeah, which is incredible.
So,
and really Michael, puts it into perspective, like, why the fuck hasn't Disney agreed to do it? Why
but it's
Sony
a bit more fun than it was last year. It's a bit more fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot more fun. My God, the numbers difference is just crazy.
I didn't realize that three of us had reminiscence.
Oh, because I'm fairly sure movies... Something changed.
Oh, movies kept getting delayed.
Yeah. So then we just got the reminiscence train.
I think Braden had Cinderella, and Cinderella got moved to only streaming.
Yes, it was things that got moved to only streaming.
And then something of Chris's as well, and we just sort of shoehorned it in. Forced it down his throat.
No, I think Chris had reminiscence.
I think Chris originally had reminiscence.
Yeah, and then the joke was... The rest of us got
Reminiscence would have got picked up last. Surely Chris didn't pick it third.
No, we picked Chris's because Chris wasn't there.
That's right. Yeah.
Why do you think Chris has got Peter
weird,
Rabbit, Boss Baby?
So funny.
Oh, this is a lot of fun. What was the winner out of this? It was Fast 9. Fuck
yeah.
that's purely why I went and chose Fast X.
Boy, what? Isn't it funny that in COVID times, Fast 9 made more than Fast X did?
Yeah, that's wild. Goddamn.
It's good to look at.
Fun times, eh?
All right, we have unfortunately run out of time here today. Unless...
Didn't you want to give us an update on something, Braden?
There's any updates and we want to spend less than 5 minutes in the ring.
Oh, my goodness.
There's too
Boy,
much
howdy.
For 5 minutes.
What's happened in the last 2 weeks?
My goodness, have you guys not been keeping up?
I've been
you
watching
need
highlights.
To, you need, I want the fastest recap you can give.
Oh, don't do that to me.
No,
that's
not going to happen.
So we got SummerSlam on Sunday.
Has it happened yet, or is it about to happen?
It's happening Sunday.
It's happening this Sunday.
This Sunday coming.
Yes. I didn't think it had happened yet.
So we now have all of our match cards, which I've got here. Because, as always, I do predictions.
Cool.
Let's
get the predictions. That can be what we talk about.
Because
all of the last 2 weeks have just been, building up storylines and stuff for SummerSlam.
And the Alpha Academy has been a lot of fun the last 2 weeks. Maxine Dupri, she had her first solo match today on Raw, and it was a lot of fun.
I did see a highlight from that.
Chad Gable and Gunther had a match. Let me talk about this, because this was easily match of the night for me. Mm. So Chad Gable, in the real fans of WWE in the circle, he's the most underrated, he's the best in-ring performer.
Yeah.
Now, there was a bit of beef behind backstage tonight on Raw, and Gunther was like, Chad Gable, I'll beat you in 5 minutes in the ring. And so Gunther and Chad Gable both get into the ring later the night. There's a big timer on the Jumbotron or the Titantron.
Yep.
And Gunther and Chad Gable are fighting. And Chad outlasts the 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And Gunther gets really pissed off and he's like, nah, this match is still like, because originally they could, as soon as the 5 minutes ended, they went and, Gunther's lost.
Yeah.
And Gunther's like, no, this match keeps going because Gunther, he's a champion. He can't be defeated. Yeah. So Gunther's like, this match goes until now just a normal one-fall counts match. And so it did, and they had a great, they continued to have a great match. Gunther won, of course, because you can't have the champion lose just yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I saw on their socials that he's sneaking up on the Honky Tonks man's record.
He is.
I think Gunther might lose at SummerSlam, though, this week.
They're going to keep the Honky Tonk man's record.
All right, let me get through this. All
right.
I've got it all.
Get on it. Here we go. All
right. So.
SummerSlam.
SummerSlam. Welcome to WWE now, fellas. With our pay-per-views or premium live events.
Yep.
We don't just have one main event anymore. This year they've decided to have three main events.
Do they still do across two nights or
nope. Only WrestleMania.
Oh, okay.
So now we have pay-per-views with three main events. So
Jesus.
Yeah. So alrighty, here we go. Alright. So our first main event is the biggest match of the night, and this is the Tribal Combat Undisputed WWE Universal Championship match between Roman Reigns and main event Jey Uso.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a great match. I think Roman retains, though.
Yeah. That's fair.
So I don't think it's time for... I don't think... It's going to be a bit lackluster, in my opinion, if Roman drops it to Jey. As much as I love Roman to drop it to Jey, I think the build-up hasn't been there. And it's only because the build-up to Cody and Roman was so epic and so fantastic, and it was so over, like, out of this world that... I think they need to do that again and then have him lose, because anything now, as soon as he loses it too and they don't match what that momentum had, it's going to feel wasted.
Yeah.
So, which is why...
I'd be really surprised if he loses without losing the entire family. Mm-hmm. He's still got majority of the family on side. Like,
I think Solo's got to turn first before we Roman drops it. Anyway, but this is WWE, and we still got to have a title change. So guess what? World Heavyweight Championship match between Seth frickin' Rollins and Finn Balor. I think Finn Balor's coming out with that. I think Finn Balor's going to win that match. As much as I love Seth, and I want Seth to be champion to end of days, he's my favorite wrestler. I was watching Judgment Day come out today, and in the last 2 weeks since we've spoken, Dominic Mysterio went to NXT and won the North American title.
I did see that.
So now they come out, and all four of them are out there. Damien's got Money in the Bank, Dom's got the NXT title, and Rhea's got the Women's Heavyweight Champion. Finn's got to come out with something now.
Yep. Judgment Day are taking over.
Yeah, so I think Finn's going to win for that.
Yeah.
Now we have the rubber match, Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar. This is the match to end their feud now. Yes. This is a tiebreaker match. I think Cody's going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if we've been paying attention to SmackDown the last couple of weeks, we have noticed that Bobby Lashley has been appearing around backstage of the show, dressing very nicely and recruiting a few other people for a faction.
Ooh.
So Bobby and the Street Profits look like they've all joined together now for a faction. And I think at SummerSlam on Sunday, we're going to get their official debut, where they will interfere somehow in Brock and Cody's match.
Ooh.
And cost Brock the win.
Ooh. Do you think it's because Bobby Lashley's delts are escaping his body, and so he needs to recruit them back in?
Bobby and Brock had a feud throughout last year that kind of fizzled out and didn't really end properly.
Mm.
It could be a way to keep that going. I don't know. I think they're coming no matter what. If they interfere with the Brock match, I don't know if they will.
Or if they just,
I think they will make an
promo
appearance
or something.
Yeah. Next up, we have the Women's Championship match. This is a triple threat match between Bianca Belair, Asuka, and Charlotte Flair. I think Asuka's going to win. But I think Io Sky is going to come running down with that Money in the Bank contract and cash in on Asuka.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
So if Asuka wins, does she retain?
Asuka will retain, but Io might cash in and take it from Asuka. Mm. Which then would be really cool, because then it'd set up Io versus Asuka, which is something that we all want.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I kind of love Asuka walking around backstage like a mum. She just looks, she just has mum energy, where she comes in with her jeans and her button-up shirt, and she's giving off real big Karen mum energy.
Yeah.
Next up, we have the Intercontinental Championship, Gunther versus Drew McIntyre. I think Drew is going to win. You know, he's been, he had a, he was gone for a while, now he's finally back. So I think Drew
Yeah, I think Drew might win that one. Am I ready for Gunther not to be champion anymore? No, but I think if he drops his intercontinental titles, only so they can push him from the main titles now, which would be a lot of fun.
Gunther's one of those people I look at and I'm like, I wouldn't want to walk into you on the street.
No.
He's a horrible, scary dude.
Have you seen him when he was Walter?
No.
So he used to be in NXT. His name was Walter, and you should look up Walter, because up Walter, and then you will have a lot more respect for Gunther to see how much he's changed.
Oh, okay. All right, let's see. My slow internet coming in. Oh, my. It's come up with lots of... Jesus!
Chunky. Chunky, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Walter was a chunky boy.
He was just a big lad, and now he's a big lad.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, man. Wow. Good for him.
So next up in the night, we have Logan Paul and Ricochet. This isn't in any order.
I got to say, watching highlight clips, Ricochet is so impressive.
Ricochet's a lot of fun.
He's fun to watch.
Oh, my God. Just the shit he pulls off.
Logan Paul had a great heel promo tonight on Raw.
Yeah.
Whereas he was in the stage bad-mouthing Ricochet. It's great to have Logan as a heel finally.
Mm.
Now, Ricochet is currently engaged to the ring announcer, Samantha. She's the one that you want announcing because she's the best.
Is she the really good announcer?
Yeah, she's a really good one.
The one who's like constantly in the highlight clips and everything. Like
she's the one you want to do Imperium's entrances and Chelsea Green's. Logan Paul was basically like, and Ricochet, when you lose that night, you're going to have to hear your fiance call out my name.
That's fun.
Right. That was awesome. And then we've got probably the least exciting match of the night, which is Ronda Rousey versus Shayna Baszler. It could be good because they're both very talented, but I don't care. I have Shayna winning. And then finally, this was only announced on Friday, we have the SummerSlam Battle Royale presented by Slim Jims.
Sure.
Now, we know at every pay-per-view there is now a sponsored match.
Yep.
We've had the Mountain Dew pitch black match. We had the Cinnamon Crust Crunch match at WrestleMania. It happens now. But we've got the SummerSlam Battle Royale. We only know two of the entrants so far, being Sheamus and who I have to predict. And this is my prediction of the winner of the SummerSlam Battle Royale match, LA Knight.
Hey, okay.
He's too over. If we're putting him in SummerSlam, he's got to win something at SummerSlam.
Yeah. The fact he's not in anything else.
So what does the winner of the Battle Royale get?
I don't know.
They get a chicken
Slim
dinner. They get a Slim Jim's dinner.
Yeah, I guess that's what they get. I don't really know what they win. That's a very good question. I think it's just a bit of fun and probably have a reason for LA Knight to be on the night.
Yeah, it strikes me as a reason to get some of the stars in who weren't otherwise going to be in it.
Mm.
Yeah, so like, yeah, getting Sheamus and LA Knight makes a lot of sense.
And everyone loves Sheamus too.
Yeah, oh my God. Sheamus is great.
So, yes, that's WWE talk for this week.
Yeah, that's 5 minutes in the ring. And this has been episode 213 of MMT Millennial Movie Talk. You can follow us on your social media of choice. You can follow us on your podcast service of choice. If you can, leave a review over there. That'd be awesome. You can subscribe on YouTube and like and comment on the video. You can comment on the video. Maybe, give us some feedback, some criticism, some advice. Maybe some, things to work on. And you can, just let your opinion be heard.
We care.
Add Michael on Facebook.
Add Michael on Facebook,
please.
And as always,
sorry, please,
please,
sir. May I have some more Facebook?
As always,
I'm Alex.
I'm Braden.
And I'm Michael.
And we're out of here. Goodbye.
Yes, sir. Yum.
I hope you were recording that.
I was.
That's going at the end of the audio. You got coke in your lungs, mate. You know.
You know, when they're like, have a drink to make the cough go away, it's just like, how do you think I got here?